This is Pure Decking for January the 24th, 2014. That's right, we survived the end of the world. This is a show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and we have Analog and Fox Wolf. And we may get a syntax later in the show. What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
How's it going?
So, I guess we'd start right off here with the mega upload being mega dead. I think we touched on that last show, but we didn't really go into it too much. We talked about the amount of money they seized and all that, but it had pretty much just happened. So now we've got all the fallout from it, and we've got some pretty interesting ones here. First story I've got up is from Yahoo News, and I loved the headline. If the feds can bust Mega Upload, why do we need the anti-piracy bills? Because wasn't the CEO of that place in, where was he? He wasn't in the States.
New Zealand,
thank you. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't in the States, but they still went in, shut down the site, took the server, seized all of it. And, SOPA and PIPA hadn't passed, so I don't guess they needed it. But just some slugs from the article here. As some of the Internet's biggest power players, including Google and Wikipedia, protested two fast-tracked anti-piracy bills going through Congress, the U.S. Justice Department launched an attack on one of the website's biggest alleged scofflaws, Mega Upload, and in a counterattack, the hacker group Anonymous temporarily blacked out the DOJ's website. Anonymous immediately going after them, that's really just giving them all the excuse they need to write even worse laws. So I think that's going to backfire on us rather hard, actually. Techno pundits and mainstream observers quickly connected the dots between anti-piracy protests and the Mega Upload arrests, notching the dust up as potentially the biggest salvo in the... See, the weird part is there's all these misspellings in this article. I just copied it. Damn it. I mean, multi-millionaire copyright wars pitting, in essence, Hollywood and its Washington lobbyists against internet free speech and hacker protesters. So the article goes on. It talks about pretty much everything that happened with the SOPA blackouts, Mega Upload getting seized, them arresting Kim.com, seizing all of their stuff, and that's how they got that 50 million number, is they didn't just seize the servers and site. They went and seized just about everything these guys owned, like all their cars, their homes, I mean, all of it, which I'm not sure how that works, but I'm not a lawyer, so I guess that works. I don't actually know. I know in drug deals they can do that, so why not copyright? So yeah,
it's all collateral damage at that point.
You know, I think something still doesn't sit right on that. I mean, it's like I don't know how you go into a foreign country, seize all of their assets, and get somebody deported and shut down their website. I don't know how that works. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying something just doesn't seem to sit right with that. But, again, if they could do that, why do they need SOPA and PIPA? Oh, because it's too hard to do it that way. I've got a whole bunch of, oh, it's too hard stories. So, one of the interesting things about Mega Upload being shut down was this Google Plus posting. That this has been a couple of places I just liked the way this Google upload was, or the Google Plus post was written compared to some of the others. But the theory going around is that a couple of different music companies knew that Mega Upload was going to start a competing online service, sort of an iTunes. They were going to call it Megabox. And that's why they went in and shut them down, is because it was going to be, they were going to be a competitor, so they pressured the DOJ to go in and get them. But the actual posting here from Google Plus, I forgot to copy the shoot. Hang on a second. Let me get the person who actually wrote this post. I forgot to copy that into the notes. That was Shauna Myers. So here we go. I present to you Megabox. Megabox is going to be an alternative music store that was entirely cloud-based and offered artists a better money-making opportunity than they would get with any record label. UMG knows that we're going to compete with them via our own music venture called Megabox, a site that will soon allow artists to sell their creations directly to consumers while allowing artists to keep 90% of their earnings, Mega Upload founder Kim.com Schmitz told Torrent Freak. Not only did they plan on allowing artists to keep 90% of their earnings on songs that they sold, but they wanted to play they wanted to pay them for songs they let users download for free, which would obviously be paid for with ad revenue. So they had kind of an interesting business model from what I've seen on what this Megabox was going to be. They were roughly setting up an iTunes or an Amazon Music store. And they were going to, of course, put ads all over it. And it was going to be based on letting artists set a price and keep it a lot like what Bandcamp does, I think. Now, I'm not up on Bandcamp. I really need a tack in here to explain the inner workings of Bandcamp, but that's what it sounds like they were going to set up. And the scuttlebutt is that they didn't want to compete with another online music store. They didn't want to deal with like another Apple or whatever. So they pressured the DOJ to go in and shut down Mega Upload.
You know, on the other hand, this is exactly the thing that everyone that was against SOPA and PIPA was going to be worried about, is these big companies, oh, hey, you're starting up something that's going to compete with us and might take some of our money?
No.
Banned.
Yeah, just, no. So, yeah.
It kind of adds fuel to both sides of the fire there.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the point of the previous article I was talking about, is if they can already do this, why do we need to pass SOPA and PIPA again?
Yeah.
I mean,
that way they can feel good and was for, wow, that's hitting me quick already. So that they can feel warm and fuzzy about themselves.
So, Analog, what is the adult beverage of the evening?
151 tonight.
Nice.
Pretty much the way I heard it described was the reason they needed SOPA or PIPA is if they ever got called on the carpet for this shit.
Yeah,
they would have something to, yeah, they would have something to back themselves up. But it says right here we can totally go do that.
You're probably right on that. But I mean, again, it comes down to, oh, it's too hard to make our case that way. So we need better laws. No, you don't. You need laws that give you more power.
Yeah, that's what they want.
And yet more Mega Upload fallout. FileServe has changed their their policy. Now, basically, they did the whole fear reaction to Mega Uploads being shut down, which is probably what the people who shut down Mega Upload wanted. So if you go to pretty much any FileServe link, FileServe can only be used to download and retrieve files that you have uploaded personally. If the file belongs to you, please log in to download it directly from your file manager. So in other words, FileServe said, oh shit, and changed their policy so that you can't publicly share things through them anymore.
Yeah, that's another Dropbox knockoff at this point, so screw that.
Except
yeah.
Dropbox can give you public links.
That's true. So they have one thing that Dropbox has one up on them at this point. I think that you're going to see this across the board. A lot of sites are going to do exactly what FileServe is doing at this point, and they're just going
like to
take the fear factor, and a lot of them might even disappear. Just, you know, they're like, ah, screw this, we can do other things.
And start moving over to the dark nets. I've been doing a lot of dark net research here lately. That place is creepy. But it is kind of funny when you stumble across one of the websites like right out of the 1990s where it's all messed up caps and, you know, red on black and, you know, links to, you know, like the Anarchist Cookbook and all this other shit. But I mean, there's a lot of really horrible stuff there too. So
you shouldn't be looking for the kiddie porn. I mean,
I'm not. That's the thing. I don't want to see that. And it's just like, oh, fuck.
But yeah, when time you to do, burn that you laptop. Stop, right?
Huh?
But when you do, you stop.
No, I close the laptop, wipe the flash drive, and start over. It was like, ah, damn it, start again.
See, you're not stopping, though. You're going back for more.
I go to a different site.
And get more.
No, wait, damn okay. You. Stop this. That's seriously not funny.
I know it.
Dude, it's like the rule of 4chan. If you see something bad, just scroll faster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But no, for anybody who's interested, what I'm doing is I figured out the formatting for some of the links that go to darknet pages, and I'm searching pastebin. And that you get to a lot of services that way. And it's interesting what's out there, and it's good for keeping up on what the underground's doing. Unfortunately, those links are not always well labeled, and you get to burn the flash drive and start again. It's sort of like a game over screen, only horrifying.
Respawn.
Pretty much. We're going to shoot it till it's better. Let's see. So, yeah, and I've got one more mega upload story, you know, to get back on topic here. You know, that's another thing. Since they seized those servers, anyone who had horribly illegal content on mega upload like that, if you've uploaded that kind of horrible shit to mega upload, you might want to get a reinforced front door.
No, just shoot yourself. World of your stupidity.
Yeah, that's probably. Anyways, this last one here, the story itself is actually all over the place. There's a new service called Anony Upload, A-N-O-N-Y Upload, and it's supposed to launch on the 25th, tomorrow. And they've been trying to get donations, and a lot of people think it's a scam. It's something someone set up to take advantage of all the anonymous news, the attacks. They're saying, oh, no, we're going to take over, we're going to set up another mega upload, is what they're saying, only anonymized and no logs and stuff like that. And, you know, they've got the anonymous suit guy on their homepage, and apparently PayPal has already blocked them. So it's kind of all over the place to figure out what's going on. But
pirates ever pay for shit.
Yeah. But this is one of the better articles I could find on it. With Anony Uploads 25th January launch date approaching, individuals reporting themselves as members of Anonymous have contacted Interior Business Times UK, reporting the site as a scam. The following from high-profile shutdown of Mega Upload, the Anony landing page appeared on Monday with a request for funding, alleging to be affiliated with the Anonymous Collective. The site's architects posted a statement clarifying they hoped to have it online by the 25th of January should they receive the required funding. The new site promises the same services as the now inactive Mega Upload, letting users share videos and music by uploading and downloading files. Following the site's appearance, a number of anonymous news sources have issued statements reporting the site as a fake. So somebody has stood up this site, and they're asking for funding to try to set up a Mega Upload clone, and they're claiming to be, you know, Anon. And then a whole bunch of other members of Anon are saying, yeah, no, he's not. We don't know who this is. So
has anybody actually started doing, you know, like lookups on the site and on the link?
You know, it wouldn't be that hard to do it. I haven't really dug on it too much. But, I mean, hell, I could do a who is on it here fairly quickly.
That's what I'm doing right now.
You're going to do one for us? All right, cool. I'll let you handle that. But, I mean, if they've registered properly, it's probably behind some privacy.
I would hope shield. So.
Or it's got fake information in there. As we've discussed on the show before, you should lie in the Who Is database. It's more fun that way.
Right.
But
Yeah, they're sitting behind a private reg. Yeah, so.
I kind of figured.
Good. At least they did that part right. God bless.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on. We got some ACTA crap. Everyone remembers ACTA, the big copyright treaty that was going around. Michael Guy says the leak of the full consolidated ACTA text will provide anyone interested in the treaty with plenty to work with for the next few weeks. While several chapters have already been leaked and discussed, the consolidated chapter provides clear indication of how the negotiations have altered earlier proposals, as well as the first look at several other ACTA elements. For example, last spring it was revealed that several countries have proposed including a de minimis provision to counter fears that border measure chapter would lead to iPods searching border guards. The leak shows that four proposals on the table. The copyright industries wanted border searches on anything digital you were carrying that could be used to infringe copyright. Your phone, your iPod, laptop, everything. And your email. Your personal email, finances, anything on there. Various countries proposed loophole-ridden ways of exempting your personal goods from search, mostly hinging on whether or not they're non-commercial goods or of a personal nature. Yeah, so pretty much the people running ACTA wanted to search your everything you had that could hold a digital file every time you crossed the border looking for, you know, pirated MP3s.
Yeah, is after they've solved all the other problems they have about shit coming over the border, pictures of your dog are now on top of the list.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, you.
That there's no way in hell they would be able to keep the staff on hand to go through everybody's iPod. And, I mean, for Christ's sake,
what are you going to do?
With the size of most iPods these days, how long is it going to take your average retarded, you know, border screening employee to go through it? And then how the hell do they even validate, I wonder how they got this CD. Did they get it from iTunes or did they get it from the Pirate Bay?
Well, right. That's what I was getting ready to say is how do you know, right? What do you got to do? They're going to pull up your iTunes and Amazon accounts and compare the contents? How does that work? It's like, no, I had the CD and I ripped it. Oh, no, that's not allowed. And what do? Shoot you on the spot? I mean...
Show me it's not allowed. Actually, if you look at it, it is allowed.
That's going back and forth so many times. Yeah, fair use.
I'm making a digital backup of my software my files.
Well, they advertised ripping CDs for iPods and MP3 players for a long time. But, I mean, it comes back to, you know, again, what are you going to have to do? Produce receipts for every piece of copyrighted work on an iPod?
Yeah, to show them your listener's license. That way they'll know how you got it.
God.
It's coming, though. That's a fucked up thing. You think about it, that was like 12 years ago.
Is that show still that old?
Yeah, you think about it.
And he still hasn't released any of season 3. Anyways. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen at this point. Let's see. Next fun story. What Bill of Rights? This one's awesome. It's from CNET. Of course, it's all over the place. Judge Robert Blackburn ordered a Peyton, Colorado woman to decrypt the hard drive of a Toshiba laptop computer no later than February 21st or face the consequences, including contempt of court. Blackburn, a Bush appointee, ruled that the Fifth Amendment posed no barrier to his decryption order. In other words, she had TrueCrypt or PGP on her laptop, and they're saying, no, give us the password. The Fifth Amendment states that nobody may be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, which has come the right to avoid self-incrimination. I find and conclude that the Fifth Amendment is not implicated by requiring production of unencrypted contents of a Toshiba Satellite M305 laptop computer. I like how specific they are. Blackburn wrote in a 10-page opinion today. He said the All Writs Act, which dates back to 1789 and has been used to require telephone companies to aid in surveillance, could be invoked in forcing decryption of hard drives as well. Oh, so he thinks a law, even though an old law, trumps the Constitution. This guy's a judge? The logic doesn't work.
No.
Did he skip that day in class?
Must have.
Was he just stoned? Or maybe the teacher had large tits. Who knows?
We're going to go for all three.
Or he's been bought off. Much of the discussion has been about what analogy comes closest. Prosecutors tend to view PGP passphrases. Okay, so it is PGP. Passphrases as akin to someone possessing a key to a safe filled with incriminating documents. That person can, in general, be legally compelled to hand over the key. Other examples include the U.S. Supreme Court saying that the defendant can be forced to provide fingerprints, blood samples, or voice recordings. So... pretty much, they're saying it's a Fifth Amendment issue, and it is, because one, if you decrypt a laptop, that proves ownership. I mean, yeah, it's generally fairly easy to say, you know, whether or not that's somebody's laptop, but at the end of the day, if you've got the password to the box, that means it's yours. So that's a form of testimony, isn't it?
So I mean, I guess the question comes up here: are you saying that if you had a key to a safe, and you tried to claim the Fifth Amendment, under saying, "Hey, what's in that safe is incriminating. I'm not opening it." That wouldn't fly, but or would it?
No, they can force you to give them the key. But the thing is, with the safe, they don't have to force you to give them the key because they can drill the lock.
Yeah. Right.
At the end of the day, they can get into that safe.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what they're saying here is when it comes down to, if you're using the key as an analogy, is that the key, while yes, I have the key, you cannot physically force me to take that key and I physically insert that key in the lock and open the lock. You can, however, force me to hand you the key.
Well, that's
you can do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what the analogy is in the case of the key, because of course when you're arrested, they're going to confiscate everything on your person.
Right.
And that is the difference between just random searches and being arrested. And generally, it's accepted they'd have to have a warrant to get that key from you or to go to
Absolutely.
Where that key is. With this, it's not so much the idea of, you're in court, they have a warrant, they know it's your machine, give us the passphrase. Because
I don't know, I mean, it almost gives them a leg to stand on, if you're citing the whole, it works in non-digital media, why would it work with digital media, as far as the key goes. But it's a very, very loose...
Right. It opens up the door to a lot of problems. And the real issue here, though, is the fact that they're using... The key analogy comes from the story.
Yeah.
But it's not a good analogy. A key is a physical thing. You can have it on your person. It can be, on a key ring in your dresser, hidden somewhere where it can be discovered and found. A passphrase could be written down, and in that case, it's the exact same thing. They get their hands on the piece of paper, it's a passphrase, they get in. But if it's not written down, it's only in your mind, which means they are compelling you to, in effect, testify against yourself to give them the password.
Well, you could also claim it's intellectual property and sue them for copyright infringement for taking it.
Nice. Well, the way I think in this case is, yes, you're right. This would be considered, infringing on someone's rights. This is not falling under the analogy of a physical piece of key. But the part that I don't get is, why don't they just have Billy Bob, who's sitting down in the basement playing video games, actually get up and actually earn his paycheck and decrypt it himself?
Well, that's the problem, is if you're using modern, industrial grade hard disk encryption, I think there was a story where the FBI tried for 8 years to break a TrueCrypt encryption and they couldn't do it. Most of this industrial grade encryption is pretty much bulletproof, with discounting the possibility of a brute force password or discovery of the password. But the thing is, again, this comes back to, it's too hard, because there's other ways to get this information. The woman's in court for real estate fraud, and if she's actually doing fraud, yes, throw her ass in jail. I'm not saying that she should go free. I'm worried about the precedent they're setting here of, anytime they see an encrypted laptop, they're going to require you to give them the password right away. And that's already a law in Britain, as far as I know.
Well, and the other thing with, God, it's been a long time since I've studied any court laws or anything like that, but isn't it, even if you have a warrant to go into a house for, one thing, and you see something else, it's not,
if
unless,
it's in, that gets really, really messy, and we really need a law expert on to tell you. Generally, if it's considered in plain sight while they're doing the search, or it's something they come across and it would be reasonable that they would come across it, it's like you see these cop shows, the one I remember I saw a snippet of, because Madman had it on TV when we were over there doing something. It was a Law and Order episode where they decided somebody's computer was in plain sight because the cop, quote-unquote, accidentally bumped the table and, you know, oh, it's in plain sight, and he starts digging through her computer and finds what he needs, saves the day, whatever. But it's like, no, that's such a violation of your search, you know, your right to search and seizure. But, you know, of course, on TV, they show it like, oh, they've got to do this stuff. But, I mean, it doesn't work that way. It really, really doesn't. And they have to, you know, if they go in and they're looking for, I don't know, drugs, and they find something else, and it's reasonable that they would have found it doing the search for drugs, it's probably okay. But if it's like they went in looking for drugs and, geez, I don't, drugs is such a, okay, if they went in looking for a kidnapping victim, you know, something completely different, right?
Yeah.
And so they're busting through stuff, and then they decide, well, we're going to start digging through this guy's computer. Well, now, wait a minute here, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not related to the original warrant, so what's, you
yeah,
know,
I,
what's
I,
the
I know
justification?
There was something kind of like that that was...
So...
It's difficult, dude. I don't know it well enough to give a great answer. I'm trying to go with what I remember. So yeah, I am not a lawyer.
From uslegal.com, plain sight rule is a principle of criminal law that permits a police officer to seize without warrant and use as evidence any item seen in plain view from a lawful position or during a legal search where the officer has probable cause to believe that the item is evidence of a crime.
Right. So I wasn't completely wrong then in what I was saying.
No.
It's like if they were searching for something and it was reasonable that they would be where they were executing a warrant or just in, you know, in a lawful place, like walking around your front yard as long as you don't have, you know, trespassing signs up. Actually, there's a rule with fences too. I don't remember if they're allowed to hop fences or not. Cuz I mean, I think they can technically like look in your windows and stuff looking for things without a warrant. Or is that a... No, that's a violation of privacy.
Yep.
I don't know. I need a lawyer.
The plain sight rule recognizes that no citizen has a reasonable expectation of privacy with respect to unconcealable items within a vehicle in police custody. So, the expectation of privacy is not there.
My understanding with the vehicle thing was they actually had to arrest you first before they started searching through your car. They couldn't search through your car unless you gave them permission. And they're actually, you know, they do the social engineering to trick you into giving them permission. But,
right, but it comes at that point, it comes back, though, to probable cause, too.
Right, right. Which, so, you know, if they say, hey, we're looking for something, do you mind if we check through your car? And, you know, if you say no, that's not enough reason for them to arrest you just so they can look through your car.
Right.
One, and that's a pain in the ass in paperwork, so most of them aren't going to do it. Although, you know, if you ever watch any YouTube videos on the subject, they make it out like the cop's going to go crazy trying to intimidate you, which I don't think is true unless they actually suspect something. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but at least with that aspect of it. But back to the whole encryption thing. I think there are other ways to get what they need. Like if they suspect there's something on the laptop and they need to get into that laptop, one thing they can do is try to do some cyber warfare on you. You know, let you, when you're under surveillance, try to get malware on the laptop. We know they do it. It's sort of like this, you know, they were complaining about not being able to listen in on Skype calls. It's like, well, if you really suspect somebody's doing something, get a warrant and put a tap on their computer on the endpoint, as opposed to breaking the entire service and violating everyone's, you know, right to privacy. But anyways,
that would be too hard.
That's my point. Is all this shit is people who are in law enforcement going, it's too, well, it's in this case, it's more lawyers. It's too hard. We can't do it that way. We need to be able to just kick in the door and take shit and force you to give it up. I mean, you know, what the hell?
Comes down to the fact that they're lazy and they don't want to do their job.
Well, certainly the lawyers and the copyright lawyers and the company lawyers. I'm, you know, I don't mean that about individual beat cops or stuff like that. I'm talking about the people making the rules. So
yeah.
Okay, next story. You wouldn't download a car unless, you know, you could. Because
I
would.
Fuck, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is cool. It's from Mashable. Pirate Bay is adding a... I'll just take the slug line out of the article here. File sharing site The Pirate Bay is apparently expanding its reach into letting users pass one another physical objects to download. Now, what they're not saying is these objects are simply definition files, 3D, you know, they're 3D vector files that tell a printer how to draw something. It's Thingiverse, basically. They've added another category to their site, is what they've done. But, yeah. But that's not actually the case just yet. The site is introducing a new category called Fizzibles in anticipation of the day when you will be able to print the spare parts for your vehicle. Fizzibles are data objects that are able and feasible to become physical, the site says. And it's, their file is meant for 3D printers. And, you know, not a lot of people have them, but they're not terribly expensive. You can go on, MakerBot and order a kit and get a little 3D plastic printer. So they've added a section to Pirate Bay for sharing these 3D objects. But it's just fun because the Fizzibles category contains just three files available for download. The data files for a whistle, a model robot, and a 1970 Corvette Chevelle muscle car.
Nice.
So, in other words, you know, yes, I would download a car. Just because. And then, I don't think you can copyright shapes. I think you can patent them, but I don't know how you would get away with patenting automobile parts at this point.
They've patented some really bizarre shit in the past, so...
That's true.
Or at least they've tried to.
But so I
would put it past them.
I'm fairly certain you can't copyright a physical shape. I'm pretty sure that has to be a patent. Hell, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, they'll fuck it up somehow.
Yeah.
They always do.
Yeah, well, speaking of our government being... Well, apparently the mandatory government tracking of your position at all times is not quite a requirement just yet. This is from CNN. This actually went up to the Supreme Court. Police erred by not obtaining an extended search warrant before attaching a tracking device to a drug suspect's car, the Supreme Court said in unanimous ruling Monday. And I think it says it later on in the story. I'm not sure how much of this I'm actually going to read. The dude was drug trafficking, so he deserves to go to jail. Don't get me wrong. But you know, I'd rather them not have to put a GPS in everybody's car to do it. A majority of justices said that secretly placing the device and monitoring the man's movements for several weeks constituted a government search, and therefore the man's constitutional rights were violated. Four other justices also concluded that the search was improper, but said it was because the month-long monitoring violated the suspect's expectation of privacy. That difference of legal analysis may create further confusion among law enforcement over when and how long such high-tech operations can be used on both criminal suspects and the general public. At issue is whether or not movement in a private vehicle on city streets is in public or is public in nature. And actually, yes, it is. If you're on the street, it's public. You can be observed doing that. A warrant has been granted. What happened in this actual case is a warrant was granted. And they had authorized a GPS device within, let me read from the actual article here because I'm going to screw it up. But actual installation of the GPS device was authorized by a judge only within 10 days and only in the District of Columbia. Agents waited until the 11th day to secretly place it on a vehicle, and they did so in neighboring Maryland. Jones was then monitored for 28 days as he drove around the area. He was eventually tracked to a house where law enforcement officers discovered nearly 100 kilograms of the illegal narcotic, which cocaine, I think is what they were going after, along with
850,000 cash.
Thank you. Hey, you've been drinking tonight and you got it right. Fuck. And they sent him to they sent him to prison for life. The court was asked to decide whether such covert surveillance violated the Fourth Amendment and whether this case should be considered a search, a seizure, or both. The justices agreed that the police violated Jones' rights, but they didn't agree on why. Pretty much the majority decision decided that they screwed up the warrant because they didn't follow the terms of the warrant for planting a GPS device. The others thought that tracking somebody with a GPS device was just a violation of privacy. So it was a question of whether it violated the Fourth or the Fifth Amendment.
Backing up into that then, so it says here that it had been granted a warrant, but installation of the GPS device was authorized by a judge only within 10 days.
They waited too long to install it, and they weren't in D.C. where the warrant was valid when they installed it. They installed it in Maryland.
So it sounds like at this point, again, somebody being lazy and not doing their job.
Right. Again, what it is, it's too hard. But
you need a soundbite for that.
I'm sure RU's going to clip it out, and that's going to be on the soundboard.
yeah.
But, yeah, in all seriousness, they can't decide on these GPS trackers whether it's legit or not. Obviously, in this case, they did the right thing. They got a warrant, but they didn't follow the terms of it, which is stupid. But if you take the argument that, you know, they screwed up the warrant, that would mean that it's still legit to track people as long as they're on public streets, whether or not you have a warrant. You know, if you have no expectation of privacy on where you go on the streets, which that's actually an argument because, you know, hell, you're out on the streets in public view. I mean, I could see that argument. I'm not sure I care about the GPS tracker thing because, I mean, you could have police tailing you 24/7. I kind of understand where they're coming from on this. The part that scares me is if they decide they don't need warrants to do this.
Yeah. And it's not only that, it's like you think about how many cars are coming with OnStar and shit like that now.
Oh, sure. Well, hell, you got your phone.
Yeah.
So,
well, I thought that that the privacy, and I could be wrong, just the ignorance on this part is my own, but I thought the Privacy Act, you know, protected you in your car, but not necessarily, you know, physically where
the car is. Yeah, exactly. See, I'm not sure on that, but I mean,
I think that's how it reads, but I could be wrong.
I'm not terribly opposed to the idea of the police, you know, tagging your car with a GPS tracker as long as they have a warrant to do so. I mean, I'm not sure I oppose that idea because the other alternative is having a couple of cops out there in the cruiser watching them all the time. And if you got a GPS tracker on there, that those cops could be out there doing something more productive. That's, again, assuming they would actually be doing something productive as opposed to...
Yeah, we'll throw the air donut.
We'll just go from there. Rocket snail. let's get back on the... Yeah, so they can't decide whether it's a Fourth or Fifth Amendment violation, and that actually is important because if it's a Fourth Amendment violation... That means that they've just got to get a warrant done correctly before they do it. If it's a Fifth Amendment violation, I'm not sure they can use the GPS trackers at all.
I think it's probably a Fourth. And in this case, you know, it sounds like it's just an malfunction of execution.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that one is pretty clear what's happened. But there's the larger context of the story is... We've had yet another of these GPS cases get sent up, and we still don't have any good guidance on whether or not the police actually can just stick GPS trackers on anybody's car they want.
You probably won't for a good long while.
Oh, it's not going to be until... there's no polite way to say it. It's not going to be until this current generation dies and we get some people up there who've grown up with this technology.
Pretty much.
Making the rules. I mean...
So. The old bags need to get out of office. Come on.
So, and the last little news story item I've got here, DreamHost got popped. So if you've got a DreamHost account, you need to go change your passwords like as soon as possible. And I know they were having problems with their service because everybody was changing their passwords. So, yeah, actually, they've been popped for about 4 days now. So you really want to change your DreamHost passwords if you still have a DreamHost account.
Wow.
They're a pretty big hosting company. Yeah, apparently they got all the passwords that were used for FTP and Shell.
Ooh.
Yeah, somebody got the whole database. My question is, why the hell was DreamHost keeping those passwords in the clear?
Better solution, ditch DreamHost and go to somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you may change your password, but your buddy on your shared hosting, he probably didn't.
And... All it takes is a privilege escalation. There's plenty of those out there. And, oh, look, you now own everything on that web server, including the sites that are perfectly secured from the front or from the page side. or have proper passwords set, or whatever. You cannot secure sites that are on shared hosting. Because no matter how great your stuff is, the guy next to you could be a complete tard. So,
and most likely is.
Unfortunately. So you see, look, it's my homepage. It's pictures of kitties, and it's got the animated GIFs I stole from MySpace. Oh, my God. Anyways, no, that doesn't happen all the time. Anyways.
It's my old GeoCity template.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
God. Oh, well, it's that time again.
Me love you long time.
If
oh, yes, hello. You want a side order of shitty beef, shitty broccoli, fried rice? Fried rice, we get to go you. Very, very good.
I thought we'd have Syntax in here by now, but I guess he's not going to make it tonight. So, yeah, anybody else wanting to open up with the blatant racism, go right ahead. First thing go ahead, Alan.
No, I'm good.
I thought you were going to do something there. Let's see. First thing up I've got is from Harmony Security. It's called The Grindr, and the author has put out a browser fuzzing kit. And actually, this looks like a very nice kit if you want to fuzz your browsers. This does not mean you're using, I don't know, something fuzzy and rubbing it at. Yeah, this means you're actually trying to find problems with the web browser. Fuzzing is a term for throwing random data and lots of it at a program and seeing if it breaks. Because generally, you're going to hit something the program doesn't know how to handle. That'll tell you how to crash it. From a crash, you can sometimes develop a hack. And that's exactly what this is a kit for doing.
I was going to say, talk to RU. He's got a whole different terminology for Grindr.
That's something
yes,
you use.
It's as bad as you think.
It's something you use for making hamburger, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to find that fail sound again and keep that handy. Let's see. Next up, I've got a link to a Blip TV channel for Source Boston 2011. It is all the Source Boston Con videos. We all love Con videos, so good stuff there. And then this last one I got is a very cool guide to the science of Google dorking. And it's on, it's a Blogspot blog for K3170 McCann. And he's got examples for doing Google dorking, looking for local file inclusion, remote file inclusion, SQL injection, and error-based injection. So this isn't Google dorking looking for, you know, somebody's tax returns or their password list that they left on the company share. This is Google dorking looking for problems with websites.
Nice.
So very, very cool stuff. This, by the way, this is the kind of stuff Anonymous uses to pop websites and get databases. So if you want to know how to check your own website against problems, this is the post you want to look at. Let's see. I think that's all I had for tonight. So, of course, we got promos. Listen to the stream. Sard has done a ton of work. I Have Nothing every Saturday. We'll be back on Pure Decking on Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and Twitter handles. Has anybody else got shit they wish to pimp?
No, not really.
Me, myself, and I.
Awesome. So, at that, yeah, we'll be back on Thursday.